An Australian history professor is continuing her fight to have historic letters about the 1975 dismissal of Prime Minister Gough Whitlam released. Jenny Hocking has lodged an appeal after the federal court last month ruled that letters between the Queen and the then Governor-General, Sir John Kerr, were personal communications rather than official Commonwealth records. The letters, which are currently held by the National Archive, are embargoed until at least 2027, with the Queen holding final veto over their release after that date. This case has been running since 2016, and the new appeal could be the final attempt at having the so-called palace letters released. Jenny Hocking is a professor at the National Centre for Australian Studies at Monash University in Melbourne. She's also author of a two-volume biography of Gough Whitlam. Jenny Hocking, welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks for having me, Hamish.
You've been fighting for the palace letters to be released for years. Why do you want them released to the public? Why are they so important in your view?
Well, there's a couple of reasons for their particular importance. The first is simply for our history. They're obviously critical documents in the history of the dismissal. And for that reason, I think, you know, it's really important that we are aware of them, that we know what they say, and that we can therefore assess the history of the dismissal. That the context of that history is one that's been very clouded. It's been very difficult for us to unpack what really happened at that time. The material I released when I brought out the biography of Whitlam had some startling new material that we were simply unaware of the extent of, for example, Justice Mason's negotiations with Kerr in the lead up to the dismissal, his role in drafting a letter of dismissal for Kerr. So the collusions that were happening at that time were unknown to us, and the history of the dismissal has changed dramatically in the last 10 years. So that's the significance of the letters, but they're also important because I think we need to attempt to undo this remarkable situation where the Queen can retain an embargo over key documents in our history held by our own archives.
So the argument is that these letters, these communications were personal in nature. Why is that unreasonable given the whole idea of what a Governor General is there to do on behalf of the Queen as the effective head of state?
Well, for that very reason, Hamish, the Governor General is the Queen's representative in Australia. It's very difficult to see on a common sense level alone how his communications with the Queen, the monarch and the palace, at a time of such intense political moment in Australia, that is the months and weeks leading up to the dismissal of the Whitlam government, how that could be construed as personal correspondence rather than Commonwealth records as required for release under the Archives Act. And we do know a little bit about these letters because among Kerr's voluminous papers, which have really, as I said, transformed our understanding of the history of the dismissal, among those papers are some extracts, which I identified as extracts from about seven of these letters. And it's very clear from those extracts that he's detailing to the Queen the situation in Australia politically as it was unfolding at that time. He's describing key conversations. He's describing Whitlam's comments to him, Malcolm Fraser's comments to him. There's nothing in those extracts that I think would come within a general understanding of personal communications. Now, that's quite a different question from how the sorts of issues the court might rule at. But for that reason, again, I think it's important to finalise our questions over this term personal as it applies to Governor General's records.
It's an intriguing notion, isn't it? Because you might argue that actually the Queen and whoever the Governor General is at the time need to have some kind of close personal relationship that enables that free flow of advice and feedback in order for the whole system that does exist to function.
Well, the system that exists is a constitutional monarchy, and it's not one in which a Governor General makes unilateral decisions based on discussions with the Queen. I mean, that's simply not the system under which we work. And so the fact that these intense discussions, which did, we know from Kerr's papers already, involve Kerr revealing to Prince Charles, for example, in September 1975, that there was a possibility that he might dismiss the Whitlam government and that he was concerned, therefore, that he, John Kerr, might himself be recalled from office by Whitlam, were part of these discussions. Now, that is, under our system, quite a preposterous and utterly improper communication to be having about the Governor General's tenure with the Queen or her palace and her minders. So these are, I think, very important discussions, and we need to know what they contained at that time.
It is 43 years now since the dismissal. Why do you think it's still important for us to have access to these letters? What difference does it make?
Well, I think given the difference that historical records and particularly archives have already made to our understanding of the dismissal, they're vital documents in terms of completing our knowledge of the dismissal. So that's one side. As a historian and a biographer, I think is utterly compelling that we can't know and make decisions about our history and interpret it unless we do have access to that history. But the second reason is I think they tell us a great deal about the relationship and the post-colonial relationship between the monarch and the Governor General. Now, that's an issue that, of course, still pertains today. We still live under a constitutional monarchy. But I think that as we move towards a republic, as we inevitably do, those same questions about the powers of a head of state, the relationship between the head of state and the government and prime minister will be vital questions that will require resolution. And part of that resolution, I think, will come from fully understanding this constitutional crisis in 1975.
I'm intrigued at what the principle is here. Are you saying that any communications today between the Queen and the Governor General, Peter Cosgrove, should be at some point or ultimately made public? Is that something that we should all have insight into?
I think they should certainly be considered Commonwealth records. As Commonwealth records, they would then come under the usual provisions of the Archives Act. Now, the usual provisions of the Archives Act do not simply open documents after 30 years or 20 years, as it's going to be now, for public access. There's a process for viewing and vetting those records for grounds such as privacy, national security and so on that you'd be aware of. So it's not simply saying they should automatically be opened after a key point in time. It is saying that they should come under the ambit of the Archives Act and that the strictures of the Archives Act ought to apply to those records, just as they do to all other Commonwealth records that are held by the Archives.
You've got a number of high-profile lawyers working on this case on a pro bono basis, among them Gough Whitlam's son. How much of this is about, I suppose, setting the record straight from Whitlam's point of view?
Well, I don't think that animates this particular pursuit of records.
It's a pertinent question. As soon as you see the Whitlam name involved in this, it does beg that question.
Well, Tony Whitlam was leading the legal team in the case itself, but that's not the situation for the appeal. The appeal is being led by Brett Walker, SC, also on a pro bono basis, and we're extremely pleased and delighted that someone of Brett Walker's calibre has considered this matter of such significance and such importance that he is prepared to take it on in that context. And so the team is a slightly different one from the team that led the case proper. And we have also Coles Chambers Westgarth in Sydney, very prominent legal team, and Tom Brennan with Brett Walker as well. So the team has come together to take this case and to try and redo that decision of the federal court last month, which was to continue effectively the Queen's embargo by continuing that descriptor and that label of the Queen's letters to Sir John Kerr as personal records.
All right, Jenny Hocking, we will leave it there. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks very much, Hamish.
Jenny Hocking is a professor in the National Centre for Australian Studies at Monash University. She's also the author of a 2-volume biography of Gough Whitlam. Her latest book is The Dismissal Dossier.